Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I pray that your day has been a day of rejoicing. We are continuing in our lesson today, our teaching track, Head Knowledge, No Heart Knowledge. And I would just like to pray this day for those who are listening, and even for those who may have lost someone today, who may have received some bad news, or who just may not be in the right mind today, who may have had a rough day or a day of struggle, and even a day of rejoicing. And just being in oneness with Christ. So if you would pray with me as we open up this broadcast today in prayer, and as we look a little deeper into our lesson, part two, Head Knowledge, No Heart Knowledge. So thank you again, and let's take a moment of prayer. Lord, we just exalt you today, and we are just so forever grateful that you allowed us to be living and breathing and be in our right minds today. And we just lift up holy hands to you today because you are God. You are the maker of heaven and earth, a God who knows all, who shows all, and a God who wants to flow through all. We thank you, Lord, and we exalt you today. Lord, I pray for those who may have lost someone today, who may be in a hurting heart today or a grieving heart. Lord, bring them peace, peace that surpasses all of their understanding. Give them a joy, an unspeakable joy in the midst of their pain. For you are the joy. You are our Lord. Lord, for those who may be struggling with a bad attitude today or something didn't play out right today, Lord, I pray that you give them peace, that you would renew the right spirit within them, Lord, that you order their steps by your word, Lord. And Lord, for the one who rejoices today, who lifts up holy hands to you, Lord, bathe them in your grace, brand new mercies every day, that they will continue to exalt your holy name and lift up holy hands, praising you and giving you all of the glory. Lord, now walk us through your scriptures today. Reveal the sweetness of your word, that it would saturate our heart and grow our mind, that we will come closer and closer and closer in to you, that the heart would be prepared, that the ear would hear, that we will continue to grow and go in grace, that you be glorified, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord, and thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast week after week. It is only by the grace of God that we continue to broadcast live via the internet, that you will continue to be trained in his word, that we will continue to grow in his word, that we will continue to share God's word. So come ready and prepare your Bibles and your paper and pen to take rich notes that you can go back and review the scriptures that speak to the heart. Now, keep in mind that our teaching track today is head knowledge, no heart knowledge, and this is part two. And we are going to look at the second point of the lesson. Now, as I indicated last week, point one of this lesson was God knows the heart. And we talked about that in depth on how he knows the good, the bad, and the ugly of man's heart. And we also looked at the religious blindness of a man's heart. And we looked at how we can have, how the heart or the condition of the heart is known by God. He's omniscient, he's omnipresent, and he's omnipotent. And he is the one that knows the heart of every man and woman. And we looked at those scriptures, so I advise you, I encourage you to go back to the first teaching track and refamiliarize yourself or familiarize yourself with what was discussed in detail. So now we're on point two of today's lesson, and point two is God shows the heart. So now I have a question, and I know we have heard this saying, and if you haven't, this is what it says, or this is how it has been said. So heavenly minded, but no earthly good. Now, I've heard this before in the church family, if you will, or in the body of Christ, and I'm not sure who said this or who quoted this, but originally, but I have heard it. So heavenly minded, but no earthly good. Could this be you? God has an amazing way of showing the condition of our heart by revealing truth through his word. Now, a submissive heart perseveres trials and testing, but a religious heart is self-righteous, loves religion, not relation. And we're going to look at some illustrations in the Bible, parables, and we're going to look at Revelation at one of the churches that God shows the condition of their heart. And again, he knows the heart, and today we're going to look at God shows the heart. So, the quote said, so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. And the question was, could this be you? So let's go to Scripture and let's look at what Scripture says concerning God shows the heart. Now stick with me because we'll be moving through quite a few scriptures and we'll be reading a couple of passages in its entirety. So I really want the scriptures to reveal what God has to show us in the scriptures, but most of all, that it would be an impact in your life, on your heart. It would show you the condition of your heart through the scriptures. So the first passage I want to look at is in the book of Luke. Let's go to Luke 18, and we're going to read verses 9 through 14 in its entirety. And I want to read this in the NIV translation. Luke 18, and we're going to start at verse 9. And it reads this way. So if you would, follow along with me as we read 18, starting in verse 9. And you may be familiar with this parable. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, or the Pharisee and the publican. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. So if you would circle himself or underline that in your Bible, or you can actually write that down next to the point, God shows the heart. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. And that's a very important verse. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Now, I hope that you are already seeing how God, or in this passage, Jesus is revealing the condition of the Pharisee's heart in prayer. So it says, I'm going to go back to verse 11. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. We underline that. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. Now it's shifted from the Pharisee to the tax collector. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up at heaven. That's a very important verse. But he beat his breast and said, God, I have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, these particular verses are packed full of message, full of nuggets that we could just camp right here in this particular passage and show the condition of two men's hearts. And I want to look at the Pharisee because, again, the lesson is head knowledge, no heart knowledge. And we see this in these two particular individuals in the passage, more so in the Pharisee. And let's look at that. Just for the sake of making sure that we have a simplistic understanding, let's reread it. To someone who is confident, or who to some who were confident of their own religious righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Well, verse 9, Jesus is stating to the listeners there in the very beginning of the passage. Listen to what it says in the New Living Translation, verse 9. Then Jesus told his story to some who had great or who had great self-confidence and scorned everyone else. Scorned everyone else. Talked about everyone else. Great confidence in themselves. I'm going to read verse 10 in the same translation. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a dishonest tax collector. Well, that kind of describes his character, a dishonest tax collector. The proud Pharisee, that describes the Pharisee, the religious leader, or the religious person, the proud Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. Well, isn't that self-righteous? Especially like that tax collector over there. For I never cheat. Building himself up in the eyes of God through prayer. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income, his tithe. Verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you this, or I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For the proud will be humbled, and the humbled will be honored." Now, how do you look at this passage now? That God showed the heart of the supposedly religious leader, the Pharisee. Let me give you a little background about what I learned concerning what Pharisee means. Now, the Pharisee himself is a high churchman, meaning high position in the church. And the word Pharisee, which I found interesting, means set apart one. Set apart. Pharisee, high position or high churchman, and set apart one. Well, as far as what the word means and what the position means, unfortunately, he did not walk that out very well. It's a matter of fact, most of them did not during that time. The Pharisees, in their prayer, in their operation, how they went about amongst the common people. And in the New Living Translation, it indicated that in verse 11, it indicates that the proud Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. And he had the nerve to thank God that he was not a sinner. Now, that's a misconception. Somehow or another, he knew the law, the Ten Commandments, and all of the other Jewish law as a high churchman. But somehow or another, he missed the mark. He missed the mark in thanking God that he was not a sinner like everyone else. And then he went on to say, especially like that tax collector over there, according to the New Living Translation. And then he proceeded in his prayer to tell God what he didn't do. He made himself to be a good person. Of course, good by works. Listen to what he says in the New Living Translation in verse 11. He went on to say, "For I never cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery." And in verse 12, "I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income." Now, focusing on the condition of his heart, this particular Pharisee's heart in this passage. Now, remember, the point is God shows the heart of man. And he will test the heart of man through trials, situations, circumstances. He will test our heart. And this Pharisee, in this particular passage, was so full of himself, or should I say self-righteous, self-centered. And then he was proud that he was not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. And he presented himself to the Lord in prayer. Now the question was, the quote was, "So heavenly minded, but no earthly good." And I asked the question, could this be you? Head knowledge, no heart knowledge. This passage describes the Pharisee as head knowledge of the law. And he believed he was keeping the law. He even indicated in his prayer to God, the one who knows the heart of man. And now Jesus is speaking in this parable, showing us the condition of this particular Pharisee's heart. Religious people. And he thanked God that he wasn't like other men. And then once he showed or prayed to God concerning what he did, he even took it even a little farther. He says, "I give you a tenth of my income." He gives God a tenth of his income, showing himself to be doing good works, devoted to keeping the law and works of his own works, of his own merit, of his own performance, of his own achievements. That's what this shows, the condition of his heart. So now let's look at the tax collector. And in Scripture, it indicates
in verse 13, and the publican in the King James translation, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. He called himself a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. He came before the throne of grace and called himself a sinner. He did not boast about what he did. He did not put himself on a pedestal before God. He humbled himself before God. And he asked God, have mercy on me. Yes, he's a tax collector. Yes, he was dishonest. But it's a heart thing. And his heart was humble before God in prayer. And Jesus even tells us in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now, who is the other? The religious churchman, the high churchman in position, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself, such as the Pharisee, shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. For the proud will be humbled, but the humbled will be honored, if in that sense. The proud will be humbled, the proud heart, the self-righteous heart, the phony heart will be humbled, but the humble will be honored. I think about the thief on the cross. Of course, there was one that persecuted Christ on the cross and said, you call yourself Christ, you call yourself the Messiah, playing the devil's advocate. And the other thief on the opposite side of Christ knew he was a sinner, but his heart was changed. He knew he did wrong. He deserved to be on that cross. He knew Jesus did not deserve to be on that cross, but he knew he deserved to be on the cross. And what did he say? He asked God, he asked Jesus, please, have mercy on me. Do not forget me. Do not forget me. And Jesus said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Changed the condition of his heart by confessing and repenting to Christ on the cross. Same condition of heart of the tax collector. This is what the body of Christ has to learn. We have to be humble and grow into a humbleness of heart. Remember, the quote was, we can be so heavenly minded about religion, about tradition, about history, and we have emptiness of service. Just going through the routines of church life. Let's look at another parable. And let's let the scriptures illustrate this for us. This is a serious disease within the body of Christ, to where we have head knowledge, but we don't have heart knowledge. And the Pharisee was devoted to keeping the law. But when he came before God in prayer, he chose to elevate himself, his own works, his own merit, his own performance, his own achievements. But he's empty. He's dead. He's lifeless. But on the other hand, Jesus shows us the publican. So let's look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 23. And it reads this way. And I'm going to read this in the NIV. And reading different translations, as I always indicate, helps me as well as you to have a deeper understanding and a more simplistic understanding of the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal the sweetness and the richness of His Word, the teaching principles within the passages, so that we can live a fulfilled life on this side of heaven. Matthew 19, 16. And you may be familiar with this particular passage also. This is the rich young man or the rich young ruler. And Jesus has a conversation with him. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Now, if you would, underline in your Bible in this particular verse, "must I do eternal life." Now, that's the question. Let's read on. "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Now, I want you to underline the complete verse in 21, if you will, because this is a major verse in this passage. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possession and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, or some translations may say sorrowful or sorry, because he had great wealth. Now let's look at the condition of his heart. Now remember, when we follow or when we're in relationship with Christ Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be tested and tried as far as our heart condition is concerned. God wants a purified daughter, a purified son in heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me, is the scripture. He wants a contrite heart. And we will look at that on next week in our last point. But God judges the heart also. So in this passage, we see the rich young man or ruler in verse 22, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Let's focus our attention on 21. Well, let's back up to verse 17. Why do you ask me? And Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. And of course, the one he speaks of is God the Father. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. And Jesus, he does indicate some of the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he went on to say, all these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Well, Jesus, without telling him exactly what he lacked, which we know now, reading the scriptures, that he lacked a relational heart. He lacked a heart that had concern for the poor. Jesus tested his heart. He asked them to do something. In verse 22, he went away sad because he had great wealth, very wealthy, more than enough. And then in 21, Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions. Go and sell your possessions. Get rid of them. And give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And when you do that, then come and follow me. Testing the condition of his heart. Now, one of the commandments, first commandment, says, thou shalt not have no other God before me. No other God before me. What did this young man make his little G-O-D? He made his possessions his wealth, his riches, a god in his life. And we go back up to verse 20. It says, all these I have kept. This is what he's telling Jesus. What do I still lack? Well, Jesus didn't tell him directly, but he illustrated or tested his heart to show what he lacked, which is the greater lesson to learn. God may not reveal to us exactly the way we want to hear it from him, whether it be in an audible voice, which he's not going to, but he will reveal what we lack. He will reveal the condition of our heart in various ways. And as we prayed in the beginning of this lesson, let him who have an ear to hear you, Lord, let them hear. And not to hear with your natural ear, that's too easy. Because it can go in one ear and straight out the other. But to hear with a contrite heart, whole heart, with a relational heart, I said this in the first lesson. We've heard the quote, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. But I like to say it this way, the heart is a terrible thing to waste. The heart has a mind of its own. Now think past the regular natural heart that pumps and beats inside the human body. It goes well beyond this. So, he did not keep a commandment like he thought he had done. He made God by way of his possession. And Jesus told him to go. Go sell your possessions and give it all away. Just give it to the poor. Bless the poor. And how many times does God tell us to do those types of things? Meaning to go and share the gospel in all its beautiful ways that we can do that. Whether it be in the mission field, we have a mission field in our own cities, in our own neighborhood. Well, it doesn't even have to go beyond your front door. It's within our own family. And we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell somebody or to invite someone to salvation. We won't give up our lying and our cheating. We won't give up our gossiping. We won't give up our boasting or lifting ourselves up. We won't give up our, we've got to do it this way because there's no other exceptional way to do it but the way I want it done. We won't give that up. We won't humble ourselves. It's my way or the highway. And how many times does God tell us or you to let it go, give it up? Turn away from pornography. Turn away of relationships that are not healthy for you. Turn away from that. We're talking about church people today, the believers in Christ Jesus, who know religion but are not in relationship with Jesus Christ. The rich young ruler in this passage had sense enough to tell Jesus he kept all of the law. And then he had the nerve to ask, what do I still lack? It kind of makes me think, do you not know the 10? But all he could see was his little God, meaning his possession. And sometimes we as believers in Christ Jesus get caught up in our own self-righteousness. And we become the Pharisee that prayed, at least I'm not like them. And Scripture teaches us, when you do for the least of these, you have done for me. And this rich young ruler went away sad. And he said, you will have treasure in heaven. He didn't even want what Jesus would promise him. Treasure in heaven. Store not your treasures on earth, but in heaven, where nothing will rust it out, where nothing will eat it up as moths do, and no one will steal. On earth, all of that will happen to those possessions that he held with a tight fist. He refused to open his hand and give it away freely. Jesus instructed him to store not your treasures on earth. You will have treasure in heaven. Not you might, but you will. It's a promise. Then come follow me. So now once you have done that and you freely give, then he says, then come and follow me. Showing the condition of his heart by giving it away to the poor, those who are in need of what you have greatly received. Great riches, and follow me. Give me your heart. You will have treasure in heaven. This is what God is telling the body of Christ. Don't play church. Don't be phony. Because the God who knows your heart will also show your heart. And your heart will show through your works. You will have emptiness of service. And he went away sad because he had great wealth. And listen to what Jesus says in the following verse, 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. How can that be? And of course, the disciples heard this. They were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. We look at things in the natural, but Jesus was teaching them things concerning the spirit realm. So that when the time comes, they would have a better understanding. But over time, through the Holy Spirit, it will be revealed to them what Jesus was teaching. Now, this is the same principle with us. As we come into salvation in the newness of life, born again, we are like a little bitty child from infancy trying to get to maturity. Infancy indicating, help me. Help me. I need help. I can't feed myself. I need the help of my Father. Infancy. Then we move into, tell me. We move into childhood. Tell me. And then we move into, show me. Adolescence. Show me what I need to do, how I need to do it. And then maturity is, follow me. And Jesus asked the rich young ruler, then come, follow me. This is what we are called to do, is follow God in newness of life, in wholeness of heart. Not just in knowledge of religion, the do's, the don'ts, the traditions, the history. We are to follow him in newness of life because he does reveal the condition of your heart. And quickly, we are going to look at the condition of the heart of one particular church in Revelation. So if we would move to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to look at or start at verse 14. And this is looking at the seven churches, and I implore you to read Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, and look at the movement of God's word concerning each one of the churches. And he will show you in these passages the heart of each one of the churches. Now, these are the church people, the body of Christ, not the church building, but the body of Christ, believers in Christ Jesus. But within those seven churches, several of them have missed the mark. But I want to highlight one church in particular, again, revealing, showing the condition of their heart. Listen to what it says in Revelation 3, and I'm going to read, start in verse 14. And to the messenger of the church in Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. Now, he's calling them out right then. He gets right to the point. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am wealthy and have become rich and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be manifested. And eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. As many as I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, to him I will give to sit with me on my thrones, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I'm not sure if you really heard this particular passage, but in verse 17, they were actually rebuked. Because you say, I am wealthy, I have become rich and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, blind, and naked. And they're just called out. And then I counsel you to do this in verse 18. Buy from me gold refined by fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may be manifested, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may really see what you really don't have. This is the word to us as believers in Christ Jesus. Don't think so highly of yourself that you are rich in this and wealthy in that, that you don't have any problems, that God is so good, my marriage is so perfect, my children are so obedient, I don't have any problems, they all graduated from Harvard, I have beautiful, beautiful flowers in the flower bed and they just grow so beautifully, I make $100,000 or more a year, and I'm CEO of my company. And God has been so good to me because he's given me all of these things. This is that church. They had no need of nothing. But they were told how wretched they were, how poor and blind. They were even naked, clothed but naked. How can that be? We can be so self-righteous, so self-centered, so full of ourselves, so devoted to the law or religion or tradition, but we're naked, we're blind. This particular church boasted of its riches. She does not realize that she is poor in life, blind in sight, and naked in conduct. Therefore, she needs to buy gold to make herself rich, white garments to cover her nakedness, and eye salve to cure her blindness. This particular church, in the eyes of the Lord, one, wretched because she is proud of being rich in the vain knowledge of doctrine, but in reality is sorely poor in the experience of the riches of Christ. Two, miserable because she is naked, blind, and full of shame and darkness. Three, poor because she is poor in the experience of Christ and in the spiritual reality of God's body, economy. Four, blind because she lacks true spiritual insight in the genuine spiritual things. And five, naked because she does not live by Christ or live Christ as her subjective righteousness as the second garment in her daily walk. She does not live by righteousness, by Christ who is righteous. This particular church, Laodicea, boasted of the riches, miserable, really, really poor, blind as a bat, because they chose to boast about their head knowledge and they lacked heart knowledge. They were neither cold nor hot, just lukewarm. Jesus is standing at the door of the church, just knocking, trying to get in. And because they have no need of anything, they have all of these riches, they've got this and they've got that, they're doing the order of the church so perfectly that Jesus is on the outside of the church. He's not on the inside of the church. In all of these illustrations in Scripture, it showed the condition of the heart of the believer. And in today's times, we have a religious relation and not a relational relationship with Christ Jesus. As believers in Christ Jesus, we have to get our house in order. It's in a disarray. Our priorities are not where they should be. God first, everything else second. Draw into Him that we will grow. Others will come into the ark of Christ, that the kingdom of God will be greater because of the heart of the body. The old heart is deceitful and wicked, but the new heart, as a born-again believer, should be tender, contrite, whole, and willing, submissive to the Spirit, and continuously growing up in God's family from infancy to maturity. Relationships comes from drawing in to him through time spent with God, practicing hearing his voice, being submissive to the sweet, tender nudge of the Holy Spirit, speaking to your heart, that you can move from infancy, help me, to tell me, to show me, to eventually follow me. He tests your heart just as he did the religious, the Pharisee and the tax collector, just as he did the rich young ruler, as well as he did the church of Laodicea. And out of the seven, he's tested them all. But this particular one I wanted to bring out because God showed their heart. So this brings us to the end of this particular teaching track, and I pray and hope that you were impacted by this particular point in these passages, that you could move from religion to relation, from a list of rules and regulations to relationship, that God will continue to use you to draw others into the ark of Christ. So we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we will look at that last point on next week, being God flows from the heart. And we will allow Scripture to show us how he flows from the heart. Again, I thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio. And I pray that as the body of Christ, we would fall on our knees and repent, turn from our wicked ways, and then he will hear from heaven, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. There's so much work for us to do as the body of Christ. So many lost souls that need salvation. But it won't be until we get our house in order, because God will show the condition of your heart. Always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth, but the word, the infallible word of God, will remain forever and ever.